All right. Happy Father's Day. Hope y'all are doing well today. Occasionally, I don't recommend very many books. I mean, there are a lot of books out there to read, but I picked this one up. In fact, it was very cheap, just $5. But it's an edited book on Bible prophecy, an A to Z guide to biblical prophecy and end times. And but it's more of an index kind of thing. Of course, you can get a lot of this stuff on the internet. Is it just a little cool? But it'll take themes like the beast in Daniel, or the judgments in the book of the Revelation. Now, it won't give you a particular viewpoint. It'll give you many of them, but it'll help you to understand things. There's a little chart in here that parallels the seals, the trumpets, and the bowl judgments that in the book of Revelation. I'm going to refer to those today as we look at Joel. But it's just one of those tools, and there's some great tools out there that'll help you. I won't say that, there's so many books coming out now and things, but if you ever just in a quandary about one, it might be a chance. I've looked at it along the way. Give me a call. Maybe something I'm unfamiliar with, but I try to stay up to date with things. But I found this, and it really is a nice little volume. Very helpful. If you have your Bible, if you turn to Joel chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, and we've been reading through Joel. In order to talk about Joel, especially when you're looking at prophetic things, you have to integrate it with other passages of Scripture. And I always like to see the bird's eye view of things. Really helps you in your understanding. If you can establish not a grid, not a grid, but an overview. There's a difference in the two. A grid's tends to be very legalistic, and you adopt either it fits this view or it doesn't. But an overview just gives you an understanding, so you can see things and put the Scripture in some chronological context, historical and geographical context. Now, we left 2 weeks ago when I sat in for Rick. We were looking at verses 26 to 27. I won't go back and read those. And then we'll pick up in 28 and 29. We spoke a little bit. Rick spent a little time on that last week. And then we'll hopefully get to the end of the chapter today. Okay? Lord, we ask you that you'll open your word to us today. May you speak, Lord, to us clearly and plainly, Lord, as we see application of this in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, you know what that is? That's about the size of the land of Israel in relation to all the people that want them dead today. As you think about that, I want you to think about that. People say, Dusty, you harp on this stuff. Harp on it because it's true. I harp on it because right now the whole world's being dictated by this. What's going on over there? What's happening in Iraq? You got this army that's going mowing down. Where do these people come from? This group. They're mostly Sunnis. Sunnis. That's the brand of Islam that is in Saudi Arabia. That's the majority of Islam. The Shiites, that's Iran. Iranians are not Arabs. They're Persians. There's a different brand. There's a Shiite Muslim. the Sunni Muslims. And next to their hatred of the big Satan, who is whom? Us. And the little Satan, Israel. But really, the little Satan, the only thing that's little about the is not the hatred, it's the size of the country as they look at it. They look at it as the little Satan. They see him as a client of us. And then the next hatred that Muslims have is Sunnis against Shias and Shias against Sunnis. That makes sense to you? Shias are a much smaller group. Now, in the country, I think this will help, a little explanation. Saddam Hussein, when Iraq just came, you know, Iraq, you go back and you look at the history of Iraq. Iraq is just a forced confederation. You got the Kurds, you got the Sunnis, you got the other group, and it's a forced confederation of people that hate each other. And how did Saddam keep it together? By force. So now, when you lift off some of that, and you start giving people freedom, what happens? They go back to these historic groups that they've had for years and years and years. The Kurds, and the Iranians right now, they're the Shias. They would like to come in and take over Iraq right now. You look to see something like that. But this army that has formed is basically a Sunni army. And they're wanting to have the worldwide caliphate. They're wanting to have the Islamic caliphate, where there's Islamic world rule. That's what they're after. Now, general statement about all of the Islamic groups before we come back to this. They are very apocalyptic. What I mean by that is, when Ahmadinejad was in power in Iran, remember all those statements he made about, the end is coming and we're going to rule, and their form of the, in fact, if you look at it, who they see as their Messiah, we would probably see as the Antichrist. He was wanting to bring the world to this. They're not trying to put things off so that they can just be in power. They want to bring the world to its knees. They see, apocalyptically, they see bringing in their form of the New World Order. When that 12th Imam, you know, arises, and we'll talk about all that another day. But I want you to see that. I want you to get a feel for that right now. We're in the middle of that right now. Now, I know that our news circuits are not covering just moment by moment everything that's going on in Iraq right now. But let me tell you, it is hot right now. It is hot in the Middle East right now. There are a lot of things going on. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture and we read the... let's back up to 25. I'll read there. Then I will make up to you for the years that swarming locust is eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, the gnawing locust, my great army, which I sent among you. We see God's judgments came, and we saw the Israel. The temple is destroyed. When was that? When did that take place? What year? 70 AD. And then they're scattered. They're scattered. And they are not a land. They are not a people. When they go from there. Can you name another group in the history of mankind that was scattered for 2,000 years and came back to be ethnically and politically and geographically a people. There is none. 1948 comes, what happened? These Jews that have been scattered all over the world, now they have, some of them had already been coming back. We see the modern-day Zionist movement that goes back to the 19th century. You can trace it back there. But so when the world wars are happening and all that, and then Hitler does this, I mean, that was an awful thing. An awful thing that you would have 6.5 million Jews that are just systematically destroyed. But how many do you think were put to death in the Soviet Union? Is there any way to even count? No. I've seen estimates. But you talk about Joseph Stalin. I mean, there's a historical figure. He hated Jews just as much as Hitler did. We don't have an accurate count of that number. You look all around Western Europe and you see those. But again, I remind you, you have a God and you have a not God scenario. Over here with God are the Jews. So anything that God has anything to do with, all the not God scenario historically is going to be against. That's why, as I've said to you before, you can have North Koreans, and the average North Korean has never even seen a Jew. But yet, what do we know about North Koreans in relation to Israel? They hate Israel. How did that happen? How does that happen? I'm telling you, there's the underlying spiritual history of mankind that goes back to the garden when man fell. This isn't rocket science. You chart history and you see what God has done. And then you see how man opposes that as man has become the agent of the evil one. That struggle that was there in the garden. All right. Verse 26. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord your God, Yahweh, your Elohim. He does have a name, and his name is Yahweh. Who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am Yahweh, your Elohim. It says again, there is no other, and my people will never be put to shame. Now, I showed you they're back in the land. Remember the picture I showed you? There's the brown Israel, the big shot from overhead, and then there's the green Israel. And you see how God's blessed. So we can see this has begun. 1948, you can mark it down, 1948, that began to happen as God then has been drawing these people back. Now, I asked you this question before. Do any of you have friends that have either Jewish friends who have either have family members that have decided to move to Israel, or who their children have moved to Israel? Bethy, you have? There are numerous people from Savannah, Georgia, who have moved back to Israel. Now, does that make sense? On a safety note, on an economic note, a political note, does it make sense? What's driving this? Say it out loud. Fear the Lord. Driving. They're going back. So that eventually all of them will go back. Now, there's some people that believe that Savannah, Georgia, is going to be one of those places, a port, an exit port for Jews. How many of y'all have heard that? That's a lot of people that have been praying for years, praying about this, have said that this city is going to be a place where Jews will exit to go back to the land. Now, how soon we forget that? Was entering and exiting places an issue in our recent past for Jews? Germany. What was done with them? Systematically destroyed. So, this is not new material. This is not something new that you'd even have to think about. Yet, people put it on the back burner and say, oh, you're being wild and crazy today when we talk about that. Esther, excellent example. Are you following me so far? So, he is drawing his people. They are coming back from all of the nations, and they have become a people again now. 2,000 years almost, they were not a people. Now they have become a people again. So you see all those passages in the Old Testament, in the prophetic books, you know, major prophets, minor prophets, in the book of Psalms, you know, all those passages that talk about them not being a people and then becoming a people again. Now we see that is happening right now before our very eyes. So we are watching the prophetic clock. We're watching it tick right now, even as we speak right now. It isn't anything to get weird about. Let me go ahead and put this disclaimer out here. This ought to bring us hope. This is not doom and gloom. Our redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming back. This ought to excite us, because one of the things he says in Matthew 24 about all this stuff happening is, what's going to happen with the gospel for the world? This gospel, come on, tell me, will be preached throughout the whole world. That everyone, every tribe, every tongue is going to hear the gospel. And to be part of that. That's why to put that in historic and apocalyptic context for you, that's when I say to you, it is a privilege to live in this day. Imagine of all the thousands of years of human history, and God chose you to live today. What a blessing that is. What privilege that is. Okay. Verse 28. Somebody read 28 and 29. Stand up and read loudly. Okay. Now last week we saw that when did that prophecy begin to be fulfilled? It was last Sunday, right? Last Sunday. Anyway, boom, yes. So at Pentecost, did all those things happen? Was the Spirit poured out? Did sons and daughters prophesy? Did they? Yeah. Did old men dream? Yep. And even on male and female servants was the Spirit poured out. So it was to everybody. So we could say at Pentecost, you can see sex, age, or social position, His Spirit's poured out on everybody. But I want to remind you that this also says that at this time, in the verses that went before, verse 27, he's talking, we're moving chronologically through this, that there is a fulfillment of this after the people have come in the land. After the Jews have come back into the land, there's yet another level of fulfillment of this prophecy. Well, what does that mean? Well, here's my opinion about it. Everybody's like a nose. Everybody's got one. I believe that the fulfillment, as we're coming into this, verses 28 and 29. Tick. Steroids. I believe that's what's going to happen. You're going to see this like you've never seen it before. All the colors are going to become brighter. Just like right now. What do you think I mean by that? The colors are going to become brighter. Give me an example. A Christian that lives out his life today, does he stand out more or less than he did 40 years ago in our country? More? Yeah, of course he does. Why does he stand out more, or she stand out more? I hear a voice in the back. Yes, it's thinner. That's right. You know, add up all the stuff that's going on, the sin in our society, the things that we don't even blink at right now. How many of you have been at a little league game of some sort, or a junior, and a fight broke out with adults? Would you have seen that 40, 50 years ago? Of course not. I'm sure you can find an example in some, you know, wirehead go out and say, well, I know somebody. Listen. I witnessed so many of those things coming up with my kids in sports, and it's gotten worse and worse over time. What if you, when you were a child, had witnessed two men in an embrace, lip-locked out in public, what would you have thought? Well, yet, how many times have you seen that this week? How many times have you seen it on TV? Now I've got a good buddy of mine. He told me one day, he said, Dust, you're exaggerating that. I said, do you want me to take you the video? Need I send you the list of programs that are on TV? The things that, where this, things like this are treated. The verse I want to get to is in Matthew 24. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is the summit that Jesus has with his disciples. Verse 1, it says, Jesus came out from the temple, was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down. So what do you think that did to their sensibility? He threw out raw meat. Raw meat. Temple's going to be destroyed. What are you talking about? And then he launches. As he was sitting, verse 3, on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately. So you stand up to read, and what do? You sit to teach. So he's sitting. So he's going to teach them. Disciples came in private and said, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Not much in that question, is it? You ever been in a class like that and some kid stands up and asks one of those compound questions like that? And, you know, and at the end of it says, and then tell us what you think of war and peace. Yeah, at the end of it. So, but then Jesus gives them a succinct answer. And you have Matthew 24. So Matthew 24 is a good barometer by which to judge everything else apocalyptically that you talk about last things. Because here you have it from the mouth of Jesus. So then as you go back and you look at the prophetic books in the Old Testament, Major and Minor Prophets, and the prophetic words that they're there in the Old Testament, and then you look forward to the things spoken of, especially what is written in the last book of the Bible, which is, it is the book of Revelation. It is not Revelations. Okay? It is the Revelation. Let's say that together. Just remember, na-na-na-na-na. I'll take you back to the 50s. All right. I wander all over the place, but I come back. All right, verse 12. Go to verse 12 of Matthew 24. It says there, somebody read it. What does that mean? Say it out loud. There you go. You see, lawlessness increased. Let me ask you, is lawlessness increasing in the world right now? Now, if you were a post-millennialist, comes back. Postmillennialism went out of style. Well, what World War I didn't do to it, World War II finished it out, and all the wars that have happened since then. So this idea of the world's going to get better and better, and then Jesus is going to come back. Is that true? Is that what the Scripture teaches? Scripture teaches that the love of many is going to wax cold, that lawlessness is going to increase, and He'll come. So, and then, the love of many will wax cold. What does that mean? Love of many will wax cold. Take a shot at it. Yeah. Do you see that happening in some people's lives right now? Where do you see it in our society? Where do you see that burning, that particular idea burning the brightest? Last election. Less people of a biblical evangelical bent voted. That's hard evidence, folks. That's not, I think so. That actually happened. What does that tell you happened to some of those people? They withdraw. I'm going to take care of me and mine now. Let me just go over here and make an application point here. Do you see anywhere in the Scripture where it teaches a Christian that he's to take care of me and mine? What is our commandment? First and foremost, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. And your neighbor, as you say, what is the most loving thing you can do? You can fulfill Matthew 28, 19, 20, which says, as you go into the world, you're going to share the gospel with everybody. There's no backup. There's no retirement. There's no slinking away from. We'll have our little us for no more. We're just going to get out here with our white outfits and wait for Him to come. Man, depending on how you see the judgment and which kind of how you see the tribulation, you know, coming and God's judgment to the world. So we see the love of many will wax cold, but in the midst of this, go back to 28, 29. What's he going to do? He said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all mankind. How can that happen at the same time? You know, there's a lot of things I don't understand how they can happen at the same time. Let's start with Jesus. I don't understand how he can be all God and all man at the same time. But because I don't can't understand that, does that mean it's untrue? Of course not. So I'm going to leave this to him too. That's one of those anomalies. I'm just going to say, Lord, I don't understand how this works, but I'm going to be part of what you're doing in the earth right now. I'm going to cooperate. It is the most exciting time in the history of mankind to live. Right now. No retreat, no backup. All right, now go on to the last, somebody read 30 through 32. So what do you see in that passage? That there's a both and nature in that passage. We've just spoken of it. There's going to be a written test on them. Come on, tell me, what do you see in those verses? Signs in the heaven, destruction and salvation at the same time. Now, for years and years and years, I misunderstood what little bit I knew about the book of the Revelation, because I saw it as Satan out of the box and he's in control. But you know what? That's wrong. Because the book of Revelation is all about God making things right. And the judgments that come there are judgments that he allows, that he motivates, that he brings about. You know, this thing of every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, that's true. So as we read this about signs, that they're going to be these physical signs, blood and fire and columns of smoke. You know, you read the book of Revelation and you find out there that large portion of the earth's population is going to die when the tribulation comes. That's true. We see that the moon, it says the moon is going to be turned into blood. And I preached a whole sermon on this a few weeks back that we've got lining up. We've already had one of them. We're going to have four of them that happen to coincide on feast days. Passover, Tabernacle for 2014. Passover, Tabernacle in 2015. The blood moon, where there's a lunar eclipse on those days, and mixed in the middle of that is a solar eclipse. Even mentions that. Now, does that mean Jesus is coming back, the tribulation is going to start this year? I don't know. But when I read things in Scripture that tell me to pay attention to things like this, and then I read Matthew 24 where Jesus talks about earthquake and physical things and it says pay attention. And then I read in the book of the Revelation and it talks about judgments, the three sevens there, the bowls, the trumpets, and the seals. I was going to get into a little bit more of that with you today, but when I see it, I see I need to pay attention. So, I'm not saying to you today, we're setting a date. I'm saying to you today, we read this. And it's screaming at us. Pay attention. How many times in the Scripture do we hear this admonition? Look. When you hear that as a command, what look means is I've got to take my eyes off of what my agenda is and what is concerning me down here. And I need to look and to see what is upon me. Because of all people in the world, we need to be the people as believers in Jesus that are at peace. That swirling of the hurricane, where's the peace in the hurricane? Right there. Now I want you to think on this. That's right where God's got us today. All the stuff swirling in the world. Bring it down to where you and I live. So what does that mean that the people, your neighbors, your family members, your friends, what does that mean is their greatest need today? Salvation. Because unless you get that right, the rest of it. He's eventually going to get our attention whether we want to or not. And the sooner we look and see what he's doing in the earth and cooperate with it. I love this definition of witnessing that I learned at Camp Crusade years and years ago. It's here's the definition of witnessing. Sharing Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. I don't have to talk somebody into it. God has called me to be a witness. All I do is produce evidence. And that might be, I love you. That might be the greatest reflection of Jesus into that person's soul at that moment that they can receive. I love you. Well, I'm willing to step in the suit with you. All right, well, I've succeeded in messing it up a lot for Rick today, so he can come next week and clean up everything that I've messed up today. We're glad Miss Carolyn's here. Let's everybody look at Carolyn right now. That's right, yeah. Well, let's pray right now. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. We give you the day, give you, Lord, whatever today is of Jesus that has been shared, both in teaching and testimony today. Lord, we ask that it be that stick, have that Holy Spirit Velcro, and the rest, Lord, let it just fall to the ground. In Jesus' name.